Yeah, welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan and Nick Keiser here with you on this Friday morning. Joe Rex Road is gallivanting off to Las Vegas. I think he's checking out a U2 concert. I assume that's in the Sphere, but I don't know that.
It is.
I assume that's where it is, so we'll have to get a full report from Rex Road. But Adam Vingan is with us all show long today. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Good. It's been a minute. Glad to be here. Yes. I'm excited to fill in for Rex Road while he heads off to Las Vegas. Yes, U2 is doing a residency at the Sphere.
Ah.
I've heard a lot about the Sphere. If you consumed any Super Bowl coverage, you heard a lot about the Sphere and all of the sports writers going to the Sphere. So I don't know the
relationship is between U2 and Creed, but if there was ever a time for Scott Stapp to make a guest appearance, it would be this weekend.
Well,
Joe Rex Road,
my dad is going to a series of shows at the Sphere next month, I believe. No, sorry, in the summertime. Dead and Company.
Okay.
You know, the Grateful Dead plus John Mayer
are
doing a set of shows at the Sphere. So he got his tickets, very excited. So I've been hearing a lot about the Sphere lately. So I look forward to Joe's report once he returns from Las Vegas.
Yep, me too. He should be back on Tuesday. So
should.
He should be back on Tuesday. You know,
he's not going to make it back.
Him in Vegas, you never know what could happen. So
he's going to end up on the Cirque du Soleil show somewhere.
Yeah, like, you know, they've made movies about this. He could be. He could be Hangover 4. We'll see what happens. Nick Keiser, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. A few hours of sleep. Robbie and I are back at it this morning. Yes, but Rex Road is not with us. He's taking in Vegas. Good for him, I guess. His kids are going to Florida.
He said, I guess.
So, yeah. Joe's been all over me lately.
You're good? You're happy to see him gone?
Well, I'm okay with it.
Wow. Jeez.
I'm okay with it.
You're okay with Rex Road being gone for a couple days. This is fun.
Yeah.
These are just throwing it out there. I like it. Thank you very much.
You miss a little. You miss a lot around here, I guess.
Right.
Are you and Joe at odds?
Are you beefing?
No, I don't think so. No. But I'm waiting for him to say where we're going to have lunch.
Okay. Well, you do. He does need to figure that out.
Yeah.
We got a lot to get to on the program today. Jared Stillman will join us at 7 o'clock. So always fun when Stilly joins the program. We'll get into that next hour. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, will join us as he does every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. We begin with the Nashville Predators and an absolute debacle last night at Bridgestone Arena. They get beat 9-2 by the Dallas Stars. And, you know, I'm not being hyperbolic when I say this, Adam. The first period of last night's game was the single worst first period I think I've ever seen them play. And I've seen them play a lot of hockey. I have been watching this team since the moment they came here in 1998. And I've seen them play a lot. And that was the worst one I think I've ever seen. They were down 4-0 after the first period last night. And they were outshot 18-1 in the first period. That's hard to do. They barely had the puck. When they did have the puck, they didn't generate anything offensively, and Dallas had 4 end up in the back of the Preds' net last night. And they probably, in all seriousness in the first period, they probably could have had 6 or 7, and it was just brutal from start to finish. It began 35 seconds in with a goal by Sam Steele. Matt Duchene scored, and we're going to get into the Duchene part of this a little bit later in the show, but it was brutal last night. And I said yesterday on the show, you know, it's been a heck of a week for the Predators. Monday, practice apparently goes very poorly, and Andrew Brunette's, you know, skating them all over the ice and back skating them, and was pretty vocal after the practice about his displeasure with the team. Tuesday, they come out, and the score was 4-2. That score was much closer than the actual game was. They got their pants beat off by the New Jersey Devils, and they talked about it after the game. Roman Josi was very mad, and they were talking about the lack of effort and getting beat to every puck and all those things. So you thought about, like, okay, after that game, you would assume there's some sort of response by the Predators, and that was not the response you were looking for yesterday, 9-2 at the hands of the Dallas Stars. So I said it yesterday. you know, the Predators should be sellers. I don't think that's breaking news. But they're making Barry Trotz's job this week pretty darn easy to come to that conclusion.
If you were in attendance at last night's game, congratulations, you witnessed the worst home loss in Predators history. And I'm not, and to borrow your term, Robbie, I'm not being hyperbolic. The 9 goals against, the most the Predators have allowed in a home game in their history, the 7-goal margin of defeat, the largest goal differential in a Predators loss in at home in their history. So actual fact, that was the worst home loss in Nashville Predators history last night. And I did not catch the full game, but I checked the score early on, and I saw it was 4-0 late in the first period, and I thought my NHL app had maybe had a typo or something. But I agree with you, Robbie. I heard what you said the other day. I think it's abundantly clear that this team is not anywhere close to competing. And look, I understand when I say that. Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette tempered expectations, specifically Barry Trotz, tempered expectations about what this team could be.
Yeah.
They were not expecting this team to be a Stanley Cup contender this season. So that I understand. But they did put together a team that they expected to compete for the playoffs, which I, quite frankly, as we talked about over the summer, never really understood. I never really understood the point of trying to make the playoffs with this team. I think over the past few years, at the end of David Poyle's time with the Predators, what did we complain about? Him trying to get a team that clearly wasn't a Stanley Cup contender and force them into the playoffs by any means necessary.
Yeah.
And it just never made sense to me for this team at this stage of its to be trying to get into the playoffs. So I think the good news in that respect is it's clear that this team is not ready. Clearly, you cannot hang with the upper echelon of the Western Conference, be it Dallas, Vegas, Vancouver, Edmonton. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, they had an opportunity. I just pulled this up in their past 11 games. They've lost 8 of 11.
Yep.
They're 3-7-1 in their past 11 games. They've been outscored in those 11 games, 43-24. So they're averaging just above 2 goals a game and allowing nearly 4 goals a game over that stretch. So I think last night was the final blow to any possibility that this team is going to compete for the playoffs. They're going on a 5-game road trip. They're going to play some tough teams. I mean, St. Louis has won 8 of 10.
Yep.
They play them tomorrow. I think they play Vegas on this trip as well. I think it could get ugly. We'll talk about this. I'll have a call your shot related to this later.
No boy.
I think it could get ugly in the next week. If it has, it's already pretty ugly.
Well, it's not going to get much uglier than it was last night. There's no question about that. But I hear what you're saying over a sustained period of time. And Andrew Brunette, as we've talked about here on the show, has not been afraid to voice his opinion on what he's seen out there. And he's not happy again after the game last night. Here's what Andrew Brunette had to say after the 9-2 loss.
Well, it's disappointing. I think it can only be addressed so many times. Either we're not taking it serious enough or we're not understanding. The response and the mindset is really disappointing.
So that was Andrew Brunette after the game last night. And the one part of this, look, there's a couple things here that drive me a little bit nuts. Number one, people started talking to me about, Andrew Brunette, should he be on the hot seat last night? And I was like, guys, can we please get through one season before we start talking about a coach being on the hot seat? I mean, the guy was just hired. We just went through a coach firing process here. So I'm honestly not going to give that one a whole lot of oxygen because it's stupid and it's not going to happen. So there's no point in talking about it. I will say, though, to your point, going back to the construction of this team. So you moved Ryan Johansson out of here. You moved Matt Duchene out of here, and we're going to get to that a little bit later. But you brought in Ryan O'Reilly. You already had McDonough here, who's been very successful everywhere he's been. Gus Nyquist, I think, has been very good for the Predators for the most part this year, and he's been a veteran player that's very reliable. Luke Shen, you know, on the ice, not that great. But the leadership part of it, I guess I understood that part. So the point, at least it seems to me, of bringing in these guys was not only to what you said, to try to make the playoffs and to get a lineup to complement some of the veteran pieces that were already here. But what do we hear all about, right? It was the culture, and it was the winning part of this, and serial winners, and guys who do things the right way, which I understand. So I guess my question is, and look, I've seen Ryan O'Reilly. The guy is, I mean, people throw the cliche first one on, last one off around all the time. That's what that guy is. Like, it's what he is. Look, being around Ryan McDonagh, I mean, it's pretty easy to see why he's been successful everywhere he's been. So I guess I'm trying to figure out why is there a disconnect between those guys, what we just talked about, of the culture pieces and the serial winners and the attitude required to win games and to bring consistent effort on a nightly basis. Why is there a disconnect between that and what we've seen this week, which is, by really everyone's admission over there, just being a total no-show for two games in a row at this time of year?
It's a good question, because just as you said, the reason why Barry Trotz, you know, paid up for Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen, and as you said, they already had Ryan McDonagh in the room and already Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg. They have those leaders to complement the younger players that they're trying to shepherd into the league. And those players really shouldn't allow something like this to happen. Now, I'm not in the dressing room anymore, so I can't speak to the dynamic there. The two of you can. But it is an interesting point. You know, really, the most impressive part about this season for me, because the Predators have shown some signs of improvement. If you look
for sure,
if you look under the surface, they have shown some signs of improvement from last season in terms of some of the things that they've been able to do. But the most impressive part of this season to me is the fact that the Predators were still in conversation for a playoff spot with UC Saros playing like a below league average goaltender.
Agreed.
That is the most impressive part of this season to me, and I'm sure we'll talk about Saros at some point today. It's, you know, this season certainly feels like a transitional year. I think what you should see, even leading into the trade deadline in a couple of weeks, and then I'm sure in the offseason as well, is I think Barry Trotz, similarly to what he did last summer, when he bought out Matt Duchene and traded Ryan Johansson, I think you're going to see Barry Trotz really start to weed out some of these other players.
I agree.
I think this was a transitional year in that regard. I think some Predators players that you have known and loved, potentially loved, you might hate them, who knows, for the past however many years, I could see some of them being shown the door. I think the mix in that dressing room from afar, keyword for me, from afar, does not seem right. I think it's on the right track based on the players they've brought in, but something clearly seems to, as you said, there to be a disconnect.
Well, and again, you know, people are asking about the coach, and I guess the question I need to throw out there is this: like, what's more likely? They keep bringing in the wrong coaches over and over and over and over and over again, or the locker room needs to be shaken up? You tell me. Like, I mean, we just went through this where everybody wanted to blame John Hines for all the Predators' problems, and oh my gosh, John Hines is the worst coach ever. John Hines can't do this. John Hines can't do that. And I tried to tell you, it's not just John Hines. You know, John, was it time to fire John Hines? Yes. It was time to move on from John Hines. But I've tried to tell you for 3 years that it's not just the coach. There's a big problem with this roster. And now here we are again with things falling apart and everybody wants to blame a coach. At what point are we going to stop blaming the coach and look around and trying to shake things up around here? That would be the question that I would ask. We can't just... it's the coach. It's the coach. It's the coach. At some point, we got to stop blaming the coach. There's a new coach in here now. I mean, is that not fair?
I honestly don't know why you should even have to explain that. But
it's ridiculous. I mean, know, the amount of people asking me about the coach last night made me want to take my laptop and chuck it at center ice.
That would have been an impressive feat. More impressive than what they did on the ice last night.
I mean, it's just, let's have some common sense here, people. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Preds get hammered last night 9-2 against the Dallas Stars. More of your reaction to that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game. Today is Vanderbilt baseball season begins. Vandy taking on FAU over at Hawkins Field with pregame beginning at 12:45. First pitch at 1 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Preds get beat 9-2 last night. And as we pointed out, the worst home loss in the history of the franchise. Not very good last night, and it's hard to imagine it getting a whole lot worse than that one. I mean, it was just everything that could possibly go right for the Stars last night did, and mostly everything that went wrong for the could go wrong for the Predators did. I mean, it's a total no-show in the first period. Get outshot 18-1, down 4-0. Just brutal last night from the Predators. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in the other Adam, Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's up, Adam? Hey, so check this out, man. I'm sitting there last night. I'm playing cards, Robbie, and at a place, and I'm asking him. I'm like, hey, can you put the Preds game on? Can you put the Preds game on? I asked this dude like three times. By the time they finally got it on, I was like, they were all like, whoa, what did you want to see this for? It's 18-1 outshot, which is more important than the 4-0 because, you know, and the scores can be misleading. That was not misleading. That was so – I mean – dude, I didn't. I was like, at least it's in Dallas because I didn't recognize the logo. And then I'm like, oh my God, it's at home, you know. So I don't know if heads got to roll, dude. I don't want to be too dramatic, like somebody has to be fired. But that's the worst period of hockey I've ever seen before. Like that's, I don't sit through games that don't mean something to me in hockey. I just can't do it. I can't make myself. That's the worst period of hockey I've ever seen before. So I don't know, dude. Especially Duchesne, like coming back and just pouring salt in the wounds, like. What's going to happen next, dude? You know, like, that's my question is, like, something has to happen, right? Like, that tilted it. We wanted to know which way they were going to tilt. I think that tilted it, bud.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate it. Well, to his last point there, one thing to me is pretty clear, and, I don't know that Barry Trotz is just going to come out and say this anytime soon, but he's talked about kind of the next 2 weeks coming out of the break here, determining where they're going at the deadline. And to me, the way this week has gone, that decision is pretty easy. Like, it's one thing to get shelled by the Devils and get beat to every puck, as they talked about after the game. But to have zero response from that and to come out and just get embarrassed the way you did last night, even if the Predators go on, like, a little run here, like, there's no way you can buy if you're Barry Trotz. So I think the decision needs to be pretty clear. And I said it yesterday on Twitter, and I'll say it again here. You know, they got a big game coming up tomorrow against St. Louis. If you win that, you're going to be right back in the mix in terms of a playoff spot. Sometimes you got to keep the long-term picture in mind and sacrifice the short-term gain. And I think the Predators are definitely in that spot right now, and they need to sell. There's no doubt about that.
And by the way, the Blues, who won last night, they didn't just beat anybody. They beat the Oilers last night.
They did.
And they beat them 6-3.
Which is hard to do.
So that's incredibly impressive. But I think one thing that Predators fans need to keep in mind when we talk about sell. Last season, the Predators had multiple valuable players.
They did.
They had Nino Niederreiter. They had Matthias Ekholm. I mean, Tanner Jeannot was worth a bounty of picks. Even Mikael Granlund picked
up. They somehow traded Granlund.
Yeah, picked up a second round pick from the Penguins, which is still ridiculous to think about. But anyway, comparatively, the Predators don't really have a ton that people want, I would say. Now, you know, Tyson Barrie obviously made his interest in going elsewhere known, but he hasn't been great this year.
No.
I mean, maybe you can get a late round pick for him or something like that.
Well, the big one's Soros, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean, right. That's what it is.
Right. So my point is if you're looking at a you're not looking at a sell off where you're going to get a lot back unless you trade Soros. But by the way, Soros has not been good this season.
Yeah.
The time to trade Soros was last summer, when he was at his peak. And I pulled these numbers during the break just to give you a sense of how bad UC Soros has been compared to last season. So last season, UC Soros, saved an extra 25.9 goals.
Yeah.
Based on the quality of shot that he faced when in net, he saved nearly 26 more goals than he should have. That was the top number in the league last season. This season, he has allowed 5.26 more goals than he should have. That's a swing of nearly 30 goals.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not been good.
No.
And look, his body of work over the past few years, this season notwithstanding, suggests that he's a great goalie. We know that. But trading him now, you're trading him at his lowest value. And I don't think it's an issue of, and Robbie, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, I don't think it's an issue of the team just doesn't play defense in front of him, because
the underlying
numbers suggest they've actually been better at playing defense in front of him. Not like significantly better,
right,
but they're not just letting teams walk in and have open looks at Juuse Saros on a regular basis. He has just been bad this year.
Right. Now, last night, I would say there was a lot of
letting
him walk in. But to your point, yes, the overall picture, I don't think there's any doubt. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Welcome in Ricky. Ricky, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I was at the Jersey Devil game last night against the Kings. I was covering it. And the talk in the press box is maybe Trotz waited a little too long with Saros, actually. The talk around everybody up there was about Saros to the Devils, except now that Markstrom's become available at Calgary, might be a little bit more attractive. As you were just saying, he's the hotter goalie this year of the two. But they were talking about if a deal would go down with the Devils, the hardest part would be that both the Devils' top prospects are right-handed shooting defensemen. And they don't really – Trotz wants to come back and say, hey, we got a 19-year-old defenseman and a couple picks for Saros. So they were saying the only way the deal might happen with New Jersey is around Dawson Mercer, a gentleman named Casey. He's a right-handed shot, 19-year-old defenseman, 6'1", good puck-moving guy, and a ton of draft picks. I just don't think it's worth it to the fan base here to turn around and say, hey, we got, you know, a bunch of draft picks for our best player again and see what happens. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not.
Yep, thanks for the call, Ricky. Appreciate it. I mean, look, if that's the haul they got, I think you'd be happy with that if you're Barry Trotz. So, all those players that he mentioned, right?
We shared this with each other yesterday, and Jared talked about it on his show yesterday too. Ryan Dixon from Sportsnet wrote a mock trade story.
Yeah.
And the mock trade that he had was Juuse Saros and Alex Carrier with 50% of Carrier's salary retained to New Jersey for Dawson Mercer, a 2025 first-round pick, like top five protected or something. Both of their goalies, Vitek Vanacek and Akira Schmid, and Seamus Casey, the prospect that the caller just mentioned. And, you know, I was talking about it with Jared before his show. He's like, what did you think of that? And I said, honestly, the framework of that deal isn't terrible. Now,
yeah.
I don't know maybe you need both goalies to make the money work. I mean, Vanacek arguably has been the worst starting goaltender in the NHL this year. And Schmid is fine. He's young. Had a really good first-round series last year against the Rangers, if I recall correctly. But basically, the idea of getting a first-round pick, a young NHL-tested player like Dawson Mercer, who scored nearly 30 goals last season, and a top prospect, the Athletic had Seamus Casey ranked as the Devils' second-best prospect, and they had the Devils' system as the 22nd best system out of 32 teams. So if you're getting a team's second-best prospect, a young NHL-experienced player, and a first-round pick, honestly, that in itself would not be terrible.
I don't think you're getting a whole lot more than that.
I mean,
I think there's this idea that Juuse Saros is going to generate like this massive return.
Well, there's no precedent.
I just don't think that's the case.
There's no recent precedent for a goalie trade. There was a lot of talk over the summer before they re-signed him to a long-term contract, which looks like a great idea right now. Connor Hellebuck. If Connor Hellebuck had been traded from the Winnipeg Jets, that would have been your comparable.
Yeah.
Because Saros and Hellebuck, you know, I would say are on a pretty level playing field in terms of their ability, but that didn't happen, so you don't have that. So if you end up with a trade that's basically a first round pick, a team's second best prospect, and a NHL ready player, young player, like Dawson Mercer, I think that's the best that you can hope for.
We'll take more of your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Get to your calls and texts coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vidgen, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Preds get beat 9-2 last night at the hands of the Dallas Stars. Taking your thoughts on that, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Mike in Gallatin. Mike, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I think that I've just been so used to, with Predators teams in the past, having a stalwart defense. Being, I guess the biggest complaint that we've had is that's what all we've had for the better part of the last few years. Like, that's what we've kind of like relied on, is our lockdown defense and our, you know, outstanding plays and Saros. This year, I feel like the defense has not been effective at all. I mean, again, like we want to talk about the
goal
scoring and everything else like that, but the defense is falling apart. Yossi, in himself, it almost feels like he's trying too hard these days, and it looks like his defensive play is falling off too. How much of that is just not positive production from certain players, or is this the new system not having the right players in place? Because, again, I want to give Brunette a chance before we go crazy and lose our minds, but like, I just don't know if he has the right players that he needs for the system that he's running. Because clearly the defense is not clicking with what the coach is trying to get us to do.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. Well, let me start with that last part. I can tell you, no, he does not have the right players for the system that he wants to run. Now, does that mean that you wait to run the system? We were talking about this yesterday. Like, the system is what the system is, right? Like, Andrew Brunette believes in a certain style of play. And look, to your point, Adam, there have been several things that they've done this year that is better and that has been improved over what we've seen last year. Look, you know, Yossi, I thought Yossi was really bad last night. Now, Yossi's not on an island there. There's nobody. It was good for the Predators last night. And let me stress that again. Nobody was good for the Predators last night. So, you know, overall, do I think the defense has been like a glaring issue this year? At times. But there, I also think there's been some stretches this year where they've played really well defensively. And I do think, especially early, when they were 5-10 and they were trying to figure things out, the new system was an adjustment for a lot of these guys, Saros included. I would put Yossi in there because, you know, as you know, Adam, when John Hines was the coach, a lot of the offense was, hey, just get the puck to Roman Yossi and let him skate up the middle of the ice and create that way. And Andrew Brunette's system is get the puck to the forwards as quickly as you possibly can and try to generate offense that way, which I like. So, look, the Predators, one thing I think we've learned this week, and we saw it again last night, I think it was highlighted even more in the New Jersey game, they're not as fast foot speed-wise as they need to be, right? Like, New Jersey skated circles around them. And that's not – you know, I realize New Jersey, when you start to think about some of the faster teams in the league, New Jersey is up there. So I get that. But the Predators are not, from a foot speed perspective, as quick as they need to be. So obviously that's something that you've got to continue to look at and try to add if you're Barry Trotz as you move forward here. And then I think the most disappointing part of this week, specifically from what we've seen in the New Jersey game and in the Dallas game last night, is they just got pushed around. They got pushed around. They got pushed around in the middle of the ice. They lost most every puck battle. And if you're not going to be an elite talented team, which this team is not, you better work hard and you better put yourself in positions to win some of these battles and to give yourself a fighting chance that way. And that's been what's been disappointing about these last two games, is it feels like they've almost mailed it in when things have started to go the wrong way.
I'm looking at the lines from last night, and I'm a big Colton Sissons fan. I like Colton Sissons as a player. I like Colton Sissons as a person.
Yep.
He should not be a second-line center on a National Hockey League team.
No.
With
all due respect, he should not.
No. Big Colton Sissons guy. Always was. One of my favorite players to talk to and to cover when I was covering the team. But when you look at this lineup, it's clear that it lacks talent. And I think when the Predators hired Andrew Burnett, there was some of, well, look what he did in Florida. He was great in Florida. Go look at that roster. Go look at the players that Andrew Burnett had in Florida that year.
Yeah.
There's no Alexander Barkov on this team. There's no Jonathan Huberdeau on this team. There's no Carter Verhaeghe on this team. So I agree with the idea that this roster is sort of like stuck between the players that worked with John Hines and some of the players that could work with Andrew Burnett.
Right.
And I think, you know, I think this coming offseason, it may start at the deadline, but I think this offseason you're going to see the players that were more John Hines players be weeded out.
I think so too.
So I think the caller made a solid point when he said that he doesn't think that Brunette has the types of player, like enough of the type of player that he needs to be successful.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Bob in Antioch. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Was it one of the objectives of this year to sort of see how the younger guys were going to fare on the NHL level, people like Novak and you know, players like that? And you know, now that we're almost two-thirds of the way through the season, how much longer do you think they're going to go with some of those guys, and how long do you think it's going to be before they move them out?
Yep, thanks for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. Well, look, I mean, there's a pretty healthy segment of the fan base right now that looks at Philip Tomasino getting sent down this week, and they're throwing their hands up like, what are you doing? And Yusuf Parson gets sent down, and what are you doing? Like, why? This is supposed to be about the young guys. And I've said this all year long. Like, I think there's an illusion out there that the Predators are like this really young team. And if you look at their roster, they're not. They're not a really young team. Now, they have some young players, and they have some young players that you're hoping elevate into a role that you can build around moving forward. But again, and going back to what you just said about moving some players out, I think people have got to realize and remember, and I think this applies to some young players too. Like, Barry Trotz did not draft Philip Tomasino. Barry Trotz did not draft Luke Evangelista. And while I'm not saying that he's just going to come in here and clear house of people that he didn't draft, I am saying that I still believe there are going to be some young players that fans were excited about heading into this season that are not going to be on this roster next year. I fully believe that.
When I think about the young players that, you know, I was hoping to see more of this season, first of all, I don't consider Tommy Novak a young player. He's almost 27 years
old.
Yeah,
I don't either.
I know that he's fresh in the league, but he's nearly 27 years old. I don't count Tommy Novak as a young player.
Right.
But I'm thinking of Philip Tomasino, Luke Evangelista, and Yusuf Parsonen. And tell me if I'm being too strong here. They've all underwhelmed this season.
I would agree with that.
And I, you know, the one thing about the Predators, as we all know, is that they do not have a strong track record of developing, you know, high-end forwards. I don't mean to pick on Colton Sissons again. They're great at developing players like Colton Sissons, who's been a solid, reliable NHL player for several years.
Yep.
But in terms of the high-end players, the ones that make a difference, they do not have a great track record of developing those players. At this point, and this might send some shivers down Predators fans' spines, but we'll use a player who played last night on the opposite team. If one of those young players, Tomasino, Evangelista, or Parsonen, specifically Evangelista and Tomasino because they play more wing, if one of them becomes Craig Smith, a consistent 20-goal scorer, I think you take it. If that's the best that they become, they, you know, if Luke Evangelista becomes a 18 to 20 goal scorer every season, 18 to 20 goals, 35 to 40 points, I think you take it. I don't think you can expect one of them to become the next Philip Forsberg. And I just think at this point, you know, especially Tomasino, I mean, I've been particularly disappointed in him this season. But if one of them becomes Craig Smith, and Craig Smith is an interesting guy.
He is.
But he was a consistent 20 goal scorer for several years for this team. If that's what you get out of one of these guys, I think you have to take it.
Well, and the bottom line is, like, everybody's looking for that superstar forward, right? And it's hard to find. And I mean, the chances are of the young guys that are currently available to them, chances are they don't have that guy, right? So you have to go figure out a way to get that guy. And that's what, you know, Barry Trotz made no secret about that when he took the job. Like, you've got to find a way to get those franchise-changing players.
And there's one surefire way to do that.
There is, and that's not been something that they've been willing to do to this point. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Predators coming up next, including a player for the opposing team last night that seemed like he was having a real good time. We'll get into that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow as MTSU basketball takes on UTEP at home. Pre-game beginning at 4:30, tip-off at 5 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Adam Vingan in for Rex Road today. Talking all things Nashville Predators right now. They could be 9-2 last night at the hands of the Dallas Stars. And one guy that had a lot of fun last night, Adam. Matt Duchene scoring two goals against his former team. So Duchene has had a very good year for the Stars. He's played 53 games. He's got 52 points, 21 goals, 31 assists. He has played largely on a line with Mason Marchment and Tyler Seguin, and that line was awesome last night against the Predators. Duchene scoring a couple of goals last night. First goal he scored, really enjoyed himself after the goal and the celebration. And I can just tell you, from somebody that was around him in the locker room last night, very happy man last night after the Predators got beat 9-2, and he played great against his former team. A lot of Predators fans that I heard from yesterday, I had a conversation with Matt Duchene yesterday morning, and we're going to get to some of those comments here in just a second. But a lot of Predators fans watching the way that he's playing this year and thinking, wonder what that could be like here in our lineup. I caught up with Matt Duchene yesterday morning at Stars Morning Skate and was just talking to him about the buyout for the Predators, the kind of his process of dealing with that, and whether or not Barry Trotz kind of indicated that that might be coming. Here's what Matt Duchene had to say yesterday morning to me at Morning Skate.
Yeah, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. It was, I've said it many times. I've never cried so much in my life during that period. Just everything. There's a lot going on, a lot family related, and obviously personally. So, it was tough. But fortunately, I had some really great options, and Dallas obviously was, I think they were the first team that called, and they were the last team standing for me, I guess. And I was just thrilled to join this team.
In your conversations with Barry at the end of last year, did you have a sense that it might be coming, or was it just totally by surprise?
Yeah, zero. Yeah.
So that was Duchene yesterday morning. And look, not that this is some revelatory thing. I mean, you could tell there's some animosity there. I mean, he did his best to downplay it yesterday, both before and after the game, but there's clearly some animosity between Matt Duchene and Barry Trotz and the way that all those things went down. And look, I don't know if that's on the Trotz side of things or not, but Duchene definitely feels it. And Duchene, he talked about it yesterday. He still plans on retiring here, still plans on, living here when his playing career is over with, but he's still kind of processing not being here anymore. And he's playing great, doing a really good job for the Dallas Stars. Do you think it was a mistake for the Predators to buy out the contract of Matt Duchene? Why or why not?
It wasn't a mistake because in order for Barry Trotz to put his stamp on this team, he needed to use a term that I used earlier, weed out some of the players in the dressing room. And Matt Duchene, I think Matt Duchene, Matt Duchene, for the most part, was a productive member of this team for a few years. Got off to a rough start, but obviously had a great season a couple of years ago. Scored 40 goals. When you think about, you mentioned the player that Ryan O'Reilly is. Matt Duchene does not have that same reputation, and I think they needed someone more like Ryan O'Reilly at this stage of the organization than they needed someone like Matt Duchene. When he signed with the Stars, I thought it was a great fit because I think the problem for Duchene here was that he was miscast as a top you know, a top line forward, like yeah. a leader of the forward group.
Agreed.
He has never been that guy. You know, we saw how it worked in Colorado at the start of his career. It's just not the right fit for him. If he is the focal point of your offense, your team isn't balanced. And that's why going to Dallas, I thought, was a smart move by Matt Duchene, because he was going to be, at best, the fourth best forward on the team, because he's not better than Roope Hintz, he's not better than Jason Robertson, and he's not better than Joe Pavelski.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you said, he's playing on the line with Tyler Seguin, who honestly is very similar to Matt Duchene in a lot of ways. Like, I think that...
And they look great together,
yeah,
by the way.
And, yeah, and Mason Marchment. So that's worked out really well for Matt. I mean, I think this is right. Matt is the leading scorer in terms of points among all players who change teams in the offseason.
That is correct.
So he's playing... That excludes rookies, so I'm not... You know, just veteran players. But, you know, I don't think it was the wrong decision. When it happened, I was shocked. I remember, you know, I think we were on the air. You know, I was filling in for Joe then too. I was shocked when that happened. But it made, as you know, the dust cleared, it made more sense. I just think that, quite frankly, Matt Duchene was not a Matt Duchene guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not what Barry Trotz wanted to instill in the dressing room. Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson were not the right people for that. So it was not a mistake. Despite the fact that he's playing incredibly well for the Stars in a secondary role, I don't think it was a mistake.
Well, I said it, and you know, people kind of laughed at it a little bit, and it's worked out, I think, certainly better for Duchene than it has Johansson. But when the Predators traded Johansson to Colorado...
Johansson's having a rough year.
But that team, the team is still a good team. Now, they're not quite as good as I think they can be. We'll see if they figure that out. But when Duchene got bought out and he signed with Dallas, what did we talk about? We said, you know, actually, I think that's a pretty good fit for Matt Duchene for really every reason you just laid out, right? Like, he doesn't have to go to Dallas and be the guy. And look, could Matt Duchene under Andrew Brunette have done something here like he's doing in Dallas this year? I don't know. Maybe. And if so, I mean, they could absolutely have used that. The one thing I will say is, like, and I agree with pretty much everything you said about Duchene and the locker room and Trotz and all those things. The one thing I will say is, like, from strictly a business perspective, would it make more sense to just have let him play out the rest of the contract rather than taking some of the cap hit and kicking it down the road?
Yeah, you could make
a little while.
You could make that argument for sure. By the way, Ryan Johansson, 9 points in his past 34 games
for the
Colorado Avalanche. And I thought that was going to be a great fit too, because it was for basically the same reasons. Like, Ryan Johansson, the pressure is off. He's going to play behind Nathan MacKinnon, who is just a monster.
Yes.
He might win the MVP, probably should win the MVP. But he's been... You know, he's been moved down the lineup. I think he's playing fourth line minutes recently for the Avalanche. It hasn't been a good year for Ryan Johansson. But you know, I thought the Avalanche were a solid fit for the same reasons I thought that the Stars were a good fit for Duchene. But I understand what you're saying about, you know, was it just, you know, suck it up for a couple more years and then move on. You know, clearly the fact that the Predators weren't willing to do that tells you what you need to know. But I think if Duchene is relishing in the win last night and scoring, then, you know, look, he was basically fired.
Oh, there's no question about it. That's exactly what he was.
Yeah, he was effectively fired. So if he wants to rub it in everybody's faces, hey man,
more power to you.
I'm all about a good revenge tour, man. So if he wants to do this to the Predators for the next couple of years while they're still paying him and he's playing in Dallas, or if he moves on after the season, because I think he only had a 1-year contract with Dallas. But, you know, assuming that he gets re-signed and he wants to terrorize the Predators for the next several years while they're paying part of his salary, man, more power to you. I'm not going to fault him for that at all.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by our friend Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators and the debacle from last night. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.